Welcome to the NOLA Drinks Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink and food in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Hey, thanks for checking in with the NOLA Drinks Show this week. Friends, as always, I appreciate it. Good show coming up for you here today. Yes, we are continuing with our French Quarter Fest series over at Louisiana Music Factory, 421 Frenchman Street, the finest record store in the world, talking about the finest music festival in the world, French Quarter Fest, right around the corner, friends, just about 2 weeks away, depending on when you're listening to this, April 11th through the 14th. So these episodes of the series are kind of coming fast and furious. We're going to keep doing this, as you know. I've said it before, but we're going to probably slow the pace down just a little bit here, especially because everybody gets really busy with quote-unquote festival season. Louisiana Music Factory's got a lot of stuff going on all the way through Jazz Fest and, or for instance, French Quarter Fest. Once they get through French Quarter Festival itself, they need a little decompressed time. They are a team of nine. If you listen to the show, it grows. It swells to a huge team temporarily to put the event on, but it's a core group of nine that actually make French Quarter Fest happen year-round and the other events they do. So we need to give them some time to sleep and eat some soup, some restorative cuisine, that kind of thing. But we'll pick it back up, and then they also put on Satchmo Fest, which happens in August, and we'll start to kind of ramp back up with the series around that time. But there'll be shows. We'll keep doing them periodically, just not quite as fast and furious, as I said, as we're doing now. So really interesting conversation we have coming up with Derek Freeman, who is the leader or co-leader, I guess I should say, of the Soul Brass Band, and Helen Gillet, the very interesting, very eclectic, I hate using kind of hackneyed words like that, but it's true in her case, just so many influences, from different genres in her music. She's primarily a cellist, but she does a lot of improv, performs with New Orleans R&B and hip hop groups from time to time, does some rock stuff, does some more atmospheric kind of stuff. And I'll let her describe what she does. It's all really, really fascinating stuff. You will be hearing their music in and out of the breaks, Soul Brass Band and Helen Gillet's music. So be on the lookout for that. And then when the podcast comes out, which will be in a couple days after the radio here, depending on where you're listening, we always have a song list of what we played in what order, and then a link to Louisiana Music Factory where you can find their music. Yep. So, friends, hey, also, programming note, the plan for next week's show, as it is now, is we'll be doing something from Bourbon Fest. This particular show is taped in advance. Bourbon Fest just happened. When you're listening, just happened the previous weekend. I haven't done it yet, so I don't exactly know what's going to happen, but we're going to be recording probably, I'm going to guess, maybe two, possibly even three shows or so worth of stuff. And so we'll see what we kind of roll out. But the plan is at least something from Bourbon Fest will be next week's show. Then after that, we will have another French Quarter Fest series show, which is going to feature the fantabulous John Boutte and Paul Sanchez together. Oh, yeah. And if you know who they are, you know you're excited. I'm excited. If you don't know who they are, you should probably listen in and check that one out. And then we'll continue from there. We got all kinds of good shows coming up throughout the spring, so stay tuned for that, friends. And what we're going to do now is we are going to take a very short break, and then we're going to bounce over to Louisiana Music Factory for another installment of our French Quarter Fest series, this time with Derek Freeman of Soul Brass Band and Helen Gillet. Come on back.
Je n'aime que toi, je m'aime.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here at WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Yeah, friends, thanks for listening into the show this week. We have another installment, as you know, of our French Quarter Fest series. Talking with some musicians that perform at the festival here at our favorite record store in the world, Louisiana Music Factory. And I am pleased to be joined by my guests, Helen Gillet. Helen, how are you?
I'm doing well, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Hey, my pleasure. And Derek Freeman. Derek, how are you?
I'm doing great. Nice to see you.
Yeah, likewise, man. Thanks for making some time. As I said before, I appreciate y'all coming on. Well, let's start here, Helen. I guess I'll start with you. I always like to talk about music because you are musicians, first and foremost. We'll talk about drinking food and all that stuff in a little while. But you... You have a very interesting background and a very interesting set of influences with your music. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah. Well, I think some of your listeners who know me kind of know the story, but I was born in Belgium, and I was raised in Singapore for 9 years. And Belgium is bilingual, mainly Dutch and French, and Singapore has four official languages, Mandarin, Malay, Hindi, and English. And I was raised around all of these different languages, and that made me feel, I think what that does when people are sort of just, you know, and I was from a bilingual household, raised in this multi-linguistic background, cultural background. I just never assumed that there was one way of thinking about something or one way of playing music. That's what that translated to as an adult musician. So I seek out inspiration with a lot of different styles, but I also, I think, from an early age had a palette of sound that was, I was always seeking the strange and unusual, I think, because that was what was familiar to me growing up. Mm-hmm. It was sort of normal to be put in a situation that was like completely new and strange and foreign, you know? So I think I still seek out the unusual and, in my own music. I love improvising for that reason, because I just played a show the other day with two people I'd never met before, and Mahmoud Chouki was a wonderful oud player and guitar player from Morocco, who's in town, and we had a beautiful set of music we'd never improvised together, and it was strange and unusual, and we tried new things, and it was really exciting, so you kind of create something, a spark of something that could be a new idea. Mm-hmm. And so that's exciting.
That's very cool. Awesome. Yeah. And cello is your primary instrument, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cello. And I'm classically trained. I have a master's degree in cello performance, but I started improvising when I was 19 years old in Indian music. And then I moved to New Orleans in 2002 and started playing with anybody I could convince that they needed cello in their band.
Right. Cello for hire.
That's right. Right,
there you go. What about you, Derek?
What about me?
Well, let's start with your name, Derek Freeman.
Derek Freeman. That's the name they gave me.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about your music. Very wide-ranging stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Much like Helen, my influences are wide-ranging, I guess. I also started out playing classical music. I started playing piano when I was like 8 or 9, and then switched to classical percussion, which I did like all through high school and college. And jazz was more like of a means to an end for me. I just playing drum set was like maybe fourth or fifth in my like actual gauge of interest. Like I kind of did musical theater too as a kid, so I was like a classical musician and a musical theater kid. Like, so I don't really know how I ended up being a jazz musician or having a brass band or making hip hop records or being hungry and being my mother is very dedicated to keeping me extremely busy, so I didn't get into trouble, and so I just had this wide range of interest as a kid and a young man. And New Orleans kind of, UNO gave me a full scholarship, so it was like a no-brainer for me to come here. I grew up in Texas. A lot of people think I'm from Tremé.
Okay.
I'm actually from Houston, Texas.
Okay.
Well, I came here in 1992, actually, right before I turned 18. I'm 45 now, so you do the math. Anyway, getting thrust in here and having the skill to play drums, it was like a natural fit. I think the first gig I played was like the second day I was here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it was just like, and even I had all these aspirations to be like a stage actor and like I wanted to go to Juilliard.
Okay.
Like, so I was one of those type of kids. Uh-huh. But, you know, they only take two people from every state, and I'm from the state of Texas. So it's like me.
A big pool.
And, yeah. It's me and 200,000 people were trying to get in. So I kind of, like, my initial reaction to being here was like a plan B fallback, not really happy about it. Like, I'll be here as long as I need to, then I'll go to New York and become a famous jazz musician, because that's what happens.
For everybody. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You just go to New York, and then they just give you that.
Yeah,
that
just put your face on a Blue Note cover. And like,
that's right.
So yeah, my two-year plan turned into a 30-year plan. Here we are.
Nice.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. So your parents encouraged, your parents encouraged you to play music? Was that kind of?
My mother raised me yet.
Okay.
She encouraged me to do anything that didn't cause me going to jail. So it was like sports, arts. I mean, I was I was a kid actor, so I did all these things. And then I went to a performing arts high school in Houston, HSPVA. It was the equivalent to Nokia here, pretty much. So they're like very specific curriculum, you know what I'm saying, to get you to the next level. So I came here with an extreme knowledge of like jazz theory and music theory and composition, but wasn't really. I just became a jazz musician by accident, just because I had gigs.
And it was around.
Yeah, so after like doing that for many years, doing the sideman game, I started, you know, putting out my own projects and making my own records, and then that's how I kind of like formed to the artist I am now, which is like the influences are from everywhere.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Gotcha.
You know, so it's just. Yeah. It's hard to define, but
I never ask anybody I ask people like influences or how they grew up playing music and things like that, because it's just not fair to ask people, you know, what's your genre? I don't think that's a particularly fair question, and it pins people down.
I love that. I love that approach, because it really is, everybody is a product of their education, their knowledge, their experience, and their interests, their dreams. You know, it's like, you know, I think certain artists, especially like what I've seen Derek do since I've been here, and the handful of times we have collaborated, I've really enjoyed that, because he's so eclectic and he's so. I think what we do have in common, interestingly, thinking about it right now, is that classical background. And when you learn how to read music, and you've got the spark to create and to improvise and to try new things, then you can really do a lot of different things, you know, especially in this town. Mm-hmm. So,
both of us have a dramatic brain, and we're both composers. Mm-hmm. So it's like, so you know, we get that energy of us, you know, just the improvising energy, you know, on stage together. But then we kind of have there's a synergy that happens, and we kind of have a feel for like, okay, this song is getting bigger and this song's ending. Like, you know, anytime we do that, we never like say this song's going to be 6 minutes long or this song's going to be 30 seconds long. It's just, we just know. We're just like, okay, that was that. Next
right,
one.
Right. Yeah. We've said what we needed to say here and move on.
Yeah. It's pretty much how it goes. It's just like.
With a couple times that you guys have collaborated, what have you done? With the live performances, I'm assuming? Have you guys collaborated recording wise? Or?
We did.
Did you play? I think you might have. I don't know.
We did one with a friend of mine, Mark Sutherland, on horns.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah, I was in a duck mask.
Yeah.
I had this whole thing called the Funky Duck. This is like a year where I was like really into wearing this duck mask and this bodysuit. And I was like, I want to play the Funky Duck. I'm going to be like this funky cello player duck, you know? That's going to be my thing. And I only did it a few times. But I went for it. And Derek was like definitely... just seemed like a really good choice, because he's goofy and super talented and great energy. So yeah,
she did some live hip hop shows with me too, where like she sat in and she was doing her loops and stuff on top of like my horn players, and it's like she's very adaptable in that way across all the genres. Mm-hmm. I mean, New Orleans forces that upon you. That's why it's hard in this town to define, because it's like none of us really know what we're doing. They just tell us, they're like, you guys are jazz musicians. We're like, okay. I mean, I guess.
Right.
Sure, why not? We'll take that.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the amount of... I have, like, the award ceremonies that come up.
And right.
They're, like, other instrument band. I won best mixed bag.
Right.
I'm very proud to have, like, other instrument and mixed bag in my arsenal.
Mixed bag,
they don't really know where to, you know, Like, no. You just, like, what? Where are you going to put? I did get female musician, which, you know, that's, like, the whole, like, another way of categorizing people. And then you got, like, you know, mixed bag and other instrument. And then contemporary jazz, I actually am honored to.
Yeah, that
that's cool.
Someone thought.
Yeah. Well, you know, I won one of the years I won the hip-hop award, yeah. Which was hilarious. So I'm sitting there looking at, like, Manny Fresh and D1. I'm like, they're like, don't you play drums with Kermit? Like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me either.
That's good.
That's funny.
So, you know, it's just like, yeah, it's just, it's weird.
That's good. It's good.
Yeah.
It's
now,
good.
How when you variety. Mentioned growing up in a bilingual household then, and was that English and?
And French.
Okay.
So, yeah, French is a big part of my life. I like to say that half of my brain thinks in French. There are certain things that I love, Derek. I love that you say we're both dramatic, like flair. Because, like, yeah, I feel like I've been influenced by French chansons, which are very dramatic, very operatic. They
absolutely.
Tell a story, you know. And so even when I'm improvising, totally out there, like more Sun Ra type of jazz, or just doing a sort of a standard. I have this flair. I have this, like, when I'm writing, I'm influenced by telling a dramatic story that comes from French chanson, the canon of music of, you know, that's 40s through the 70s. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of French music that was written that's extremely dramatic, and it's basically you can tell a crazy story with just a guitar and a voice, or, you know, you have Serge Gainsbourg doing all types of
right, exactly,
like, you know, just very operatic, and then there's a lot of really strong female musicians in that canon too that are like real, you know, like strong, gritty, raunchy at times, but, you know, feminist, like women that are telling really strong stories, and that's fun, you know. So surf rock, I love that. Okay. The whole France Gall, like, she wrote Laisse tomber les filles.
Yeah,
that's a great one. Yeah. We're going to be doing that at French Quarter Fest.
Oh, awesome. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's cool.
Shout out.
Yeah, right on.
Nice.
Johnny Halliday.
Oh, I don't do any Johnny Hallyday.
Johnny Hallyday.
French people can't say the H's.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So my name is Hélène, not Helen.
Well, it puts you in a unique situation, too, because, like, French people, just speaking from a jazz musician standpoint, French people love jazz singers, but French jazz singers can't sing like American jazz. So it's like all these, like, famous Australian and English girls that, like, are huge in France just because their accents aren't French.
Right.
It's a weird thing.
It is a weird thing.
It is interesting, isn't it?
Like, French people hate the French songs. They're like,
I don't know why Johnny Hallyday calls himself Johnny Holiday, because, I mean, it's like he can't even say his own name the way he's trying to portray it.
This is a confusing world. And I'm even more nerdy than that. I'm like from the Belgium, you know, which is the Canada of France.
Right.
So we wear Argyles at the beach. Like, there's no hope for us. But luckily I moved to New Orleans. It gives me a little bit, you know, more, like, yeah.
There you
there's
go.
A sexiness there that I maybe wouldn't have gotten if I stayed in rural Belgium.
Well, how about if we do this, y'all? Can we take a quick break here on the show and come back?
Of course. All right,
friends, we'll take a little break here on the Noel Drink Show. Come on back. Show. Brian Diaz here with you. It's our French Quarter Fest series. We're here at Louisiana Music Factory, 421 Frenchman Street, friends. And we are chatting with Helen Gillet and Derek Freeman. And this is our food and drink segment, y'all, because this is what we talk about a lot on the show.
Cool.
So, Derek, let me start with you. So you grew up in Houston, but you've been here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about, like, you know, stuff you're into. Do you cook, man? Or
I cook a lot, yeah.
You do?
Especially at home, you know, because, like, when I'm out of town, there's you know, your palate gets compromised.
Right.
So at home, I like to cook a lot. Definitely. Food is one of my favorite things. Just discovering new things and how to cook new things. I mean, obviously, I grew up, you know, eating a lot of beef and Mexican food, barbecue, whatnot. A lot of seafood and stuff too. I mean, I grew up in Houston, so it's
a lot
closer to New Orleans than a lot of other parts of Texas. Mm-hmm. As far as like the people and the culture, I mean, there's a lot of New Orleans people. I mean, my family, my grandmother's from here, so it's not like it wasn't that different.
Okay.
As far as like I learned how to do all the gumbos and all jambalaya and all that as a kid, mm-hmm. as any kid here would learn, you know.
Right.
But you know, last maybe 4 or 5 years, because I didn't go to Europe for long. I went to Europe a lot when in my 20s, and then I might not have. It's probably like a gap of maybe 8 years where I didn't go at all, maybe once or twice randomly, but not as like part of a plan or something I would do. But like since I started going back in 2014, I'm blessed to go to Italy a bunch of times during that time.
Okay. Mm. Yeah.
And
food.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just so, like it's just so simple. You know, it's like there's never more than 4 or 5 ingredients in anything, but it's just like it's amazing the way those people cook. Mm-hmm. We were fortunate to go to Tel Aviv last year, and the food in Tel Aviv was incredible.
I've heard there's a good food scene.
Like,
there,
wow. Yeah. Istanbul, too. I mean, you know,
okay,
so
sure.
I travel less than in Asia than you guys have, based on our off mic conversation. But I love Asian cuisine, you know, and my favorite Indian place is actually in Scotland.
Oh, yeah, they have a lot of Indian
food. Yeah. Oh, God, sure. It's so good. The Indian food in the UK is like. So that's my thing lately. Is
I wish we had more of that going on here.
Yeah.
Indian food's a little light here.
It's a little light.
Yeah. What about you, Helen? So, I mean, growing up in Singapore, I mean, what a crossroads of food and drink that place is.
Singapore just rocks for food. I mean, there's these hawker centers, you know, like the hawker is in terms of like yelling at you, like, come and eat this food. And now there's these little booths. And then they're in a round. Oftentimes, because there was a British colony, Singapore was, you know, Malay, then Mandarin, then British. And then they were like, okay, we want to just be Singapore.
Right.
So get out of here, please. But they still have all these different, you know, amazing food. And plus, it's a port city, so they've got the spices are just outrageous. But I used to eat soup when I was a little girl, and I felt like I was carrying a tray. You know, you embellish your memory of childhood. And I had this, like, tray and... of broth, and then you walk around, and like vendors will like, it felt like they were just like hurling things, like flying like things into
proteins,
the broth, just like fish and like noodles and spices, and you know. But I remember one of the things I loved eating growing up was congee or rice pudding.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the other day here in New Orleans, I love to cook, and I combine my Belgian experience with my Midwestern mother. Chicago was my mother's. The American side of my brain is Chicago is probably what I sound like too, my accent. But then I combine like Midwestern sensibilities with Belgian cooking, and then the Singapore background. And then living in New Orleans all this time, and being, you know, at first the first little while I was a musician. I'm still, you know, on this musician's budget. But when I first moved here, I learned how to cook rice and beans and. I never perfected gumbo, but I'm still trying. And the other day, I made a soup that was Belgian-inspired soup, leek and potato soup, and then I threw this leftover Chinese white rice.
I make leek and potato soup.
What's that?
I make leek and potato soup.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Leeks, I love leeks. They're good for you.
Leeks are good, yeah.
They're very dirty, but I like... Dirty vegetables are my favorite.
Oh, all right.
No,
the ones that are from the earth. Like,
yes.
In the earth.
Yeah, not,
yeah.
Like, I like baby bok choy is my favorite vegetable.
Ooh.
Because it's like...
Yeah.
Like, I know this came out of the ground.
Yes,
you know? Like,
I know, and it feels good. You feel like you're eating...
The leeks are the same way for me.
Roots of life.
Yes, I love those vegetables.
So I threw some white rice in this leek and potato soup. A lot of celery in their soup, too. Mm-hmm. Celery, garlic, and onion, man.
People don't use enough celery.
Celery is delicious in cooking.
And I use more celery in my beans than most people, too,
and
do, too,
cheap,
as well.
And it's so good.
And you can use less salt if you use celery. I think you can back the salt down.
Celery is very underused.
Yeah. Use celery. That's what we're trying to tell you.
Yes.
I threw these this rice in. I didn't even think I was making congee. I just threw it in there because we had it in the fridge. I don't want to waste it.
Right.
And it ended up thickening the soup, you know, as the rice expands and sits in there. And it tasted more like a gumbo, like a filet roux.
And that's because the potatoes have that same consistency.
Yeah.
Right, like so a roux.
It just kind of got like gooey and gummy. And it was, it's like, oh, this is like congee. So anyway, so now I'm like, okay, now if I'm going to make a congee, you got to add the, you know, I'd like to add, the, my favorite was the chicken congee. So
okay, yeah.
Chicken and rice. And it's just, anyway. So, but I mix it all together. I also like making breakfast burritos with like sweet potato and Italian sausage, green pepper, onion, garlic, and ginger. And then I put that sriracha sauce on there.
Mm-hmm. I'm like,
oh yeah, and you wrap it up in a flour tortilla, and then you got to fold the flour, one end of the flour tortilla in, and then wrap it so it doesn't fall out. Hold it with your pinky.
Nice.
I'm giving you everything.
I went through a phase where I was like sauce obsessed, and so like I ruined a lot of meals by like trying to get way too creative with sauces.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, but you got to experiment.
Right.
To
be like, it was like why music, did I just pour this peppermint cream on top of this beautiful steak? This is terrible. You know what I mean?
Ooh, so like that sounds interesting. Though.
It sounds, but I'm just saying
it's like, not good.
It's not
though. Good. Because mint, but not peppermint.
Not peppermint.
The point
right,
is,
right, right.
So you're getting my point, right?
Yeah, I'm getting.
So, but my new favorite sauce is very simple, and I usually use it on every protein: seafood, steak, pork, chicken. It's two part soy sauce, one part honey, one part sriracha. That's it.
Yeah,
there you go.
I put it on everything.
Ooh, that sounds so good. Oh my god, yes, that sounds great.
It gets glazy and
like
some sweet, got some bite, got some savory. That's what you like to eat, right?
You know, they're selling this. I forget the brand now. It's a German brand of mustard. They have it at the new Robert's here on the corner. Shout out to Robert's.
Yeah, because we both live in this neighborhood, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I stay literally six blocks from here.
Yeah. Okay.
That way. Yeah, she stays about...
I don't know how many blocks. Let's say 20.
20 blocks that way.
20 blocks. Yeah, so the point is, Robert's on Claymore.
Robert's at...
was it St. Claude?
Where's that? I had a natural hatred for it at first because I'm like, you know, and then I'm like, it's a block and a half away from my house. I'm like forced to go there. And then I'm like... All of a sudden, I'm like,
growing on
I kind of like this place.
Is it on Claiborne or St. Claude?
It's on Elysian Fields.
Oh, it's on Elysian. Okay.
Elysian and St. Claude.
Yeah, in St. Claude, that's right.
So, I mean, cool. We just needed a grocery store nearby.
That's what it is, too.
Yeah. Just a grocery store in that area. Yeah, right.
But they have this sriracha mustard that is
I know what you're talking about.
So good. It comes in this little round plastic bottle.
What's your favorite store, though, here?
What's favorite store?
You have a favorite grocery store?
I still like Rouse's, and I go to the CBD that Rouse's.
That's a nice one.
I like the CBD Rouse's.
I like Dorniak's.
Dorniak's is all right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to hit you. I got excited because I got a ham bone from Dorniak's. How do you say it? I say Dorniak's.
Yeah, Dorniak's.
Dorniak's. I'm not saying it right.
Yeah.
No,
there's
I was
more letters in it.
Desperately looking for just a ham bone, and that's not been like chopped into small pieces, like a big ham bone to cook in a soup to make a good broth.
Yeah, yeah.
Cassoulet?
Dorniak's. I was making a leek and potato ham.
No, but I'm saying, let's talk about cassoulet.
Oh, let's talk about cassoulet. You go ahead.
Because, no, I'm just saying, that's...
I can say it, but you might be able to cook it.
When I went to France, maybe not the first time, but one of the first times, and we were in Carcassonne. You probably been, you know, Carcassonne.
Oh, God.
That's a cool town.
I took a boat trip down there. It was so good.
So we're in the car. We're in the castle, and, you know, and they want us, you know, service their, you know, so it's like...
Oh.
Like a gumbo pot, just on the table.
Cassoulet.
Like, and it has the duck in it, you know?
Duck cassoulet.
Duck cassoulet.
That's my boyfriend's favorite.
Well, it's like the best white better butter. Yeah, like I've tried. The point is, I've tried to make it.
It's hard.
I can
it's
make
hard.
It with pork. I can make regular
French,
white beans.
Good French cooking, speaking of simple ingredients, but it's just the know-how.
It's deceptively simple. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, y'all, let's do this. Can we take a quick break here?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the Nola Drink Show. Come on, man. Welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with the WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Our French Quarter Fest series friends here at Louisiana Music Factory. And we are chatting with Derek Freeman and Helen Gillet. And coming up, this one, let's see, when people are hearing this, French Quarter Fest is going to be about 2 weeks away-ish.
So let me start with you, Helen. What does it mean to you to play French Quarter Festival?
French Quarter Fest is, because I do a lot of different things, I have an approach to French Quarter Fest of putting the French back in French Quarter Fest. So I like to.
That's got to be a T-shirt.
I like to focus on my French chansons, and so I have a French band that's called Oiseau-Zo, and it's Helen Gillet and Oiseau-Zo are performing at French Quarter Fest. So I'll be cool. I'll be in the character of a French chanteuse. I'll do a little bit of my solo looping as a little, you know, to bring it down in the middle of the set. But I've got a great band. Doug Garrison is my drummer, and Darren Douglas has been playing fiddle with me since after Katrina. She basically had my back as I was learning how to sing and play cello at the same time. She's been in the band for years. Wonderful harp player, Luke Brechtelsbauer, something to see. He's an incredibly self-taught harp player, like you've never heard a harp player before.
Okay.
Anyway, we've got a great band. Rex Gregory is flying down from Seattle, wonderful reed player. Gregory Good, original guitar player, is flying in from Minnesota. So I've got a great band coming up. We're playing Saturday.
Rex Gregory went to my high school, by the way.
He did. Oh, yeah, he's from Houston.
Oh, wow.
Dude, he likes to barbecue.
He's a little bit younger than me, but yeah.
Man, yeah, wonderful player.
Did you all overlap there?
Or you, no, he's like 8 years
old. Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay,
yeah, that's cool, though.
Yeah, but yeah, no, yeah.
What's the name of the high school?
High School Performing and Visual Arts. Oh, a lot of people went there. Chris Dave went there. Oh, Jason Moran. Beyonce.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, she's
Rex Gregory. Jason McBride.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, shout out to Houston right there. It's great. Houston. Good work.
Eric Harmon, great drummer, jazz drummer.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, no, Rex is one of the most talented musicians I've ever worked with, so there you go. But yeah, so we're going to be playing Saturday at 2 p.m., I believe, at the Pan American Life Insurance Group stage.
Wow.
You don't have to remember that.
You pulled that off. Moonwalk.
But that was very impressive.
The moonwalk.
Like newscaster level impressive. No, just like,
I had to get through it quickly because it's so long. So if you're looking for the stage, just look for the longest name stage on the riverfront, the moonwalk of the riverfront.
When they're announcing it, because the sets are already so tight at French Quarter Fest anyway, you're going to lose like a song just because they say the name of the stage.
I hope that they're awake and can get through those words. I hope they're not a slow talker like, and now from the pen. Like, I'm just gonna
come on.
Right. So, but yeah, please come sing some French. There'll be some sing-alongs. We're doing a long set there, and I'll be that's right. You heard me, sing-alongs, and and it'll be easy. It'll be like oui oui oui, non non non, which is yes and no in French. So easy peasy, and also la 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 la.
Right, which is in any language. Yeah, in any language.
Which is la in every language.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Well, and here's a little cool fact about the stage that you're playing on, because it's the moonwalk, the new area along the river.
Mm-hmm. You can do the moonwalk.
You can do the moonwalk. Between there and Jackson Square, they just announced this French Quarter Fest, that there is going to be on the Artillery Park on the platform up above a wine bar.
Oh,
a new addition. Yes. See, I was very excited. I learned that the other day.
Very excited. Derek and I are very happy about that.
This is radio, but I think we might even have a video snippet of the excitement. The proximity of the wine bar is just going to be right there.
Yay!
Well, what about you, Derek? So, playing French Quarter Fest. How many times have you played French Quarter Fest?
A lot.
Okay, fair enough. Good answer.
I think the first time I played there, I think it was with Ellis Marsalis sometime in the 90s. I played with Leroy Jones a few times. I played with Kermit Ruffins probably 10 or 12 times. And but actually, French Quarter Fest was the first festival when I started my first band, Smokers World, in like 2007. I think 2009, whatever. French Quarter Fest was the first festival to give me a gig as a band leader.
Okay, cool.
Like I played there a bunch as a sideman. It gave me a chance, gave me a killer slot the first time I played on the Louis stage, we'll still call it that.
We're calling it the Louis stage on the river. The pavilion on the river.
Which is always, like, even though I love playing at the Mint, we're playing at the Mint this year on Sunday at 4:20 on the brass band stage. And I like playing over there, but I feel like that that gazebo stage is French Quarter Fest to me. Like, it just, you know, I played there with Sister TD a few years, a bunch of different people. Iris May Tango, I think one year I played, whatever. The point is, that festival means a lot to me because they gave me a chance, you know, which springboarded me into other festivals. So
it's a local. It still feels local. So local. Which
it does
is so
feel
nice.
Local much, still, right? Yeah. And the brass band stage is fun because it's like it turns into a little bit of a head cutting contest, you know, because you're like, but our approach this year is gonna be way different because we have a record that's coming out March 26th. Here it's getting released nationally May 31st, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter to us here in New Orleans. As far as we're concerned, it's out. You can come get it right here,
here in Louisiana.
We're looking. I'm looking at it right now.
Looking at the empty slot,
the first slot, right.
It's looking really good. You guys should get one.
Anyway, so we're gonna premiere. I think three songs off that record that we haven't played yet live.
Okay.
Because I'm saving them for the season. So I'm looking forward to that. Introducing some new music. We have a few surprise special guests, and we're gonna have some fun. We always have fun, you know. There'll be at least one or two covers that'll bring you back.
And they're a secret, but one of them you were telling us, which is we're going to keep it a secret. Yeah. It's going to be pretty awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
Mum's the word, though, on what that is. You're just going to have to turn up for this set.
Right now, it's really hard.
You'll be there at 4 o'clock on Sunday, and
you'll
figure it out.
Don't blow it, Helen. Derek asked us to sign an NDA during the break.
Don't get sued on radio.
I'm really bad at holding secrets. I have to start talking about something else.
This segment's almost over. So
I will shout out to my girl, Tiff Lamson from The Givers. She's organizing a whole bunch of beautiful things right now around Louisiana. I'm going to do a set with her. She just asked me to play with a band called Jelly Toad.
Okay.
With Julie O'Dell and Ben Polsner on trumpet at Prez Hall on that Sunday of French Quarter Fest too.
Awesome. So. Okay.
Well, you just made me think of something. Mm-hmm. So this band, Soul Brass Band, almost 4 years old now. So again, French Quarter Fest is the first festival to give that band a chance too. And the first gig we did at French Quarter Fest was at Preservation Hall, which is also our first gig collectively. We all played there for years, but it was our first gig as this aggregation at Prez Hall. And that was probably one of the most special moments of my life. Like, just the vibe from that. And I think we only played like a 40-minute set, but it was like so magical. Like,
that's cool.
Zach Smith has this great photograph he took of that that day. And that French Quarter Fest, it means a lot to me. They look out for the local artists.
They really, really do.
So that's an important part of all this.
That is a huge part. And we need that here because, you know, New Orleans musicians work their butts off. We all work a lot. And we know each other. And it is a good time to just go and celebrate. I love going also when I'm not working and just walking around and seeing all my friends play and actually just be able to weave through all this free music and listen.
It's all local and different genres.
Yeah, I love it.
It's interesting. I'm sorry.
Do me a favor. Let's hold on thought because you guys are going to stick around for the podcast. The only thing. We've got about a minute and a half left. So can you tell people where, you know, website and
find... So my website is my first and last name, Helen Gillet. That's GILLET.com. HELENGILLET.com. And then I also am on Instagram a lot these days and Facebook under that same Helen Gillet. I have a new album called Helkias. You can listen to it on Bandcamp. Again, bandcamp.com. Helen Gillet is a good place to hear my music. And Louisiana Music Factory, support this place.
Please.
My new record came out on vinyl, and I want to shout out to Euclid Records and Domino Record Shack to here locally who are carrying it. So.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Derek, we got about 30 seconds left, man. We're website and Facebook.
Soulbrassband.com. Same on Instagram, Facebook, Soul Brass Band. Pretty easy.
Cool.
All my personal stuff is also on that page. So links to the other projects I do, you could also find from the Soul Brass Band page. And we'll be at the Mint Sunday at
4:20 during French Quarter Fest.
There you go.
Awesome. Well, you guys, Helen and Derek, are going to stick around for another shot with Noel Drinks. So if you're listening on the radio, we're going to close out this portion of the show. So friends, remember, be kind to one another. Use your turn signal. And until then, cheers, y'all.
My child, what are you doing in a place like this? come just like the company you keep. Then he said, I'll be saints and all these sinners will try.
All right, everybody, thanks for sticking around for another shot with Noel Drinks. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks again for listening in to the show this week. I appreciate it, as always. Hope you are enjoying this conversation with Helen and Derek. You know, I just love doing the French Quarter Fest series. You can probably tell because we've been doing a lot of them lately. And as I mentioned before, we won't do them with quite the same level of frequency moving forward. Probably will when we get closer to French Quarter Fest next year and maybe Satchmo Fest this summer. But some of the musicians that we have in town are some of the most interesting people that we have in town, in a town loaded with interesting people. So there you go. Not going to belabor this too much more. We're going to bounce back to Louisiana Music Factory and continue our conversation with Helen and Derek, and then I'll be back with my parting shot. Here we go. Yep, another shot with Noel Drinks here, friends. Brian Diaz, we're here at Louisiana Music Factory, as you know, with our French Quarter Fest series, and we are chatting with Helen Gillet and Derek Freeman, and yeah, we're talking about Italy and touring and being abroad and different customs, and Derek, you were talking a little bit about how, like, in Switzerland, when the bus leaves at 12:01, the bus leaves at 12:01.
Bus is gone.
Bus is gone.
We're going to walk to your gig, and we're going to fine you for being, like, it's like...
Yeah.
They're fine you for being late. But in Italy, if they say the bus leaves at 12:01, that might mean 12:01 the next day.
They don't even know where the bus driver is. Yeah, right. They have no idea where he is. Paolo, he's... Have you seen Paolo? No.
He's nobody... with the Chianti.
Right. Nobody's seen Paolo in days. The bus is just running.
Anybody have a driver's license?
Right. No, so I have this friend, Francesco. He's a musician. And he lives in Ravenna on the east coast of Italy. So, you know, he deems himself a small-time promoter. So I let him talk me into doing all these, like, random, like, little podunk festivals in, like, these small towns in Italy. So lucky for us, Trombone Shorty was literally, like, 3 days ahead of us.
Okay.
So we were getting intel from them, like, don't check in there. Don't eat there, you know, like, don't eat the food they give you. Go to this place. So, like, that was good. So, you know, you're promoting the tour. So for months, we have all these promotions saying that we're going to Piacenza, Italy, right? Which is like a small town in between Bologna and Milan, right? Mm. But we were actually never even playing in Piacenza. We're playing a town called Fiorenzia or some shit. Like, kind of near Piacenza. But that doesn't matter. Like, so we get to the town and, like, you know how it is. When you go on tour, you have promo pictures and things you send out, you know. So we get to the town. It's like my first, like, Facebook profile pic. It's, like, on the billboard. I'm like, what? That's not a thing. Like,
oh,
it's
my,
like,
God.
It's just like, that's like, wow. Somebody's kid is, like, doing, you know what I mean? And, like,
wow.
So Leon Brown was with me. You know, they call him Kid Chocolate. And it's like, on the, it's like giant. It says Chocolate Brown on the big poster. Leon. Right.
Oh, jeez.
So we're that guy Bruno. Bruno's like our he's like our road manager over there, and Bruno's Italian, and you know, he doesn't care. So we're like late as hell. We get there late, and so, like, the mayor of this town is like gangster ass little mayor, right? Him and all his boys. We pull up. They're like, play for us now. I'm like, all right. We've been in this van for 8 hours, driving to cow pastures and shit in Italy. So we get out. We play for the mayor, dude. He's like, okay, good. He's like, march for 20 minutes. We're like, march around the time for 20 minutes. He's like, okay, now we open all the bars for you. Thank everything. I'm just like, is there a show? He's like, yeah, we do a show later. So we get out. So we get out to where, like, the square, like, and there's this giant stage. They're like, but there's no stage manager, there's no crew, the stage is just there, like, kind of closed up. We're like, they're like, no, we bring this for Shorty. We already give him all the money, it's okay. He's like, you play on the steps, we play on steps for like 10 minutes. We're like, okay, we're good. Now we drink all the bars. I, like, literally lost my passport in this town. That's how loaded we got. But somebody, you know, it was there the next day. Somebody just brought it when it was just like, I was like, and then it took me, I was like, oh, they're just money laundering. I'm like, it all makes sense. They're just like, Shorty's here, please give him all the money. By the time we show up 3 days later, like,
there's no more money.
Like, is the festival still going on? They're like,
festival's interpretive.
Right. So did y'all actually get paid, or did you just get paid in liquor?
No, we got paid. No, we got paid a lot. No, they paid us. What they say they're gonna pay us? They're, like, just too random. Like I said, like none of the pictures matched up with the. It was just like, who, like. I'm like, you know, that's New Birth, right? That's not even us.
Yeah.
That's not me. It's fine. Whatever. New Orleans.
New Orleans Brass Band. Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all know each other, right?
Right.
That's amazing to go on tour and not know what you're walking into.
Right.
You just go there and you're trusting, like, especially, I mean, I did a gun buyback here in town. You know, I played an 8-hour show at a gun buyback in New Orleans.
You saw some characters, I'm sure of it.
And I can't even.
I didn't know. Sorry, Helen. So they actually have live entertainment at gun buybacks.
Okay, this is very unusual.
I did not.
Well, they have this is New Orleans. You know, every time, you know, like Crescent City Classic. There's bands at the race.
Sure. Yeah,
every music's event
everywhere.
Like at
literally
the airport when you come in, but at a gun buyback, that
apparently
you stand in line for a long time with your gun.
Yeah.
And be entertained.
Apparently, so this is a long story that I won't get into. But the Tasmanian government embassy was matching the funds for New Orleans. Like, they basically put up the funds to give people money to get guns off the street, right?
Oh, wow, okay.
So then this guy, this crazy casino owner in Tasmania, who has transformed the economy of Tasmania. When you Google Tasmania and you read the Wikipedia article, his name, David Walsh, will come up. He heard me play, and he thought, this woman specializes in long duration performances. Mm. So he flew me to Tasmania and asked me to do a long duration performance in Tasmania. So that's why you say yes. You know, you like, you want to do this weird gig? Yeah.
Sure.
Yes. Yep.
I'll go to Tasmania.
You never, right? never know what's going to come of it. No, plus I like the weird, you know, I like weird things, but that was strange. It was amazing. I was like, oh yeah, that's her thing. She does longer. It was the first time I'd done an 8-hour performance, and that yielded, you know, and actually I really enjoy performing for that long because I use loops and so
sure.
It's fun.
Yeah. So is this on your website? Are you specializing in long duration performance and gun buyback?
Really
and gun buyback.
No, I can't. I should put that on there. I should.
I'm guessing that's a niche. I mean, to it. Yeah, maybe not is. New Orleans, as we're establishing here. I had no idea.
Yeah. No, I'm not even going to get into the show. But I mean, just saying, like, you get musicians get into all types of weird things. I mean, you know,
the roller coaster is real. Like, that's why it's hard. It's like, and people, you know. I mean, both of us have kind of brash, more outgoing personalities, so we don't catch it as much as, like, some of our more introverted friends may get accused of being, like, you know, snarky or aloof or indifferent, and it's just because, it's because this roller coaster we all been on for decades. It's like, it's hard to, like, get too high about, you know, like, I remember, like, playing at the Hollywood Bowl and being like, I can't get too happy about this, you know what I mean? Like, because, like, I'm going to be playing at, like, you know, Spotted Cat tomorrow. So, like, you got to keep it all in perspective. You know, I'm just saying.
No offense to Spotted Cat.
I love the Spotted Cat. No, I love. I want to keep doing my gigs there. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying.
Like, yeah.
It's a, you know, so it's, so that comes off to people as, like, you know,
just because
they
you
think you're arrogant or aloof, and you're just like, no, I'm just can't. I can't.
Don't get too high.
Don't get too angry or happy or sad about anything. It's
exactly.
Just like
with anything.
Like,
yeah.
Or just like, you'll, just how you go crazy if you let the things.
Exactly.
You know.
The highs and lows get to you. You just got to keep it together.
And on tour, it could be like literally like Monday was great. Tuesday was nuts. Wednesday, like, somebody's in jail. Thursday was the best game we ever played. Friday, we can't find the bass player. You know, it's just like, that was just 1 week. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
That's so true. Like, so true.
Now, how does we were talking about Orleans Parish and comparing it to Italy during one of the breaks. But, I mean, I'm guessing coming from here or living here kind of does help you prepare a little bit for touring abroad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Versus
actually,
other places in the world, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have our ups and downs here. We have our potholes.
Yeah, if you can make it to your gig in the middle of French Quarter and then go play, you know, go play the Spotted Cat, then go play a wedding, and then go play, you know, go play, like, the Cajun's Pub till 4 in the morning drinking whiskey and free beer, you know, the, you know. You just, you know.
Sounds like the rest of my day. Actually,
yeah, like if you can manage
sounds like Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can manage yourself around this town. I used to bike with my cello on my back, and then I realized that
was a bad idea.
The low hanging oak tree limbs. Those are the ones that freaked me out. I was like, that's it. I can't. I got to buy a car.
My snares almost flew one day.
Yeah.
Off my bike, like I had the strap broke. I'm just like. Just like, oh my God. Like,
all right. Somebody,
just
maybe.
Like, just like on my bike, I'm like, is that my drum? Like,
you know, go ahead, Eric. There was something I wanted to say to you. So this was going back a few weeks. So you also do a turn W on WWZ DJ, the New Orleans music show.
Not really permanently anymore.
Oh, okay.
I was doing a Wednesday music show, New Orleans music show.
Yeah.
For about 2 years. I just don't have time, honestly. I still like to sub and do it every once in a while just to keep my chops up, but maybe I just took the job too seriously. Like, I really would listen to everything, you know? Like, I never just put guesstimated, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this Helen's CD, I'm sure number 3 is awesome.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I was just like,
So... Like everything you do. I mean, that's the thing is when you have that quality, you know, you care, you're invested.
Right.
You stay, you know, it's part of what keeps you balanced. For me, as long as I can be really busy and work really hard, but I have to know that everything I'm doing with my full self there.
Exactly. Right.
And that's what feeds me and keeps me going.
Being present.
If once you get past that balance, then it's time to,
I'll tell you one thing, though. You get great insight into people when you listen to their albums. Like, a lot of my friends, I didn't know certain things about them. I listened to the record. I'm like, explains a lot about you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so that part of me was like a gift to me. It was like I literally learned, like, I know intimate things about everybody because, you know, that's where you put it.
That's where you put it.
You know
it.
What I'm saying?
That's true.
Yeah, it's like people don't even realize they've told me their secrets because I'm like, I had to listen to your record 3 times. I'm like, you're a sick bastard. I get it now.
Well, Derek, you said something, and this is what I wanted to say. You said something, this is a few weeks back, and I got into the car, and I turned on the car, and I was having it on OZ. And I caught, you were playing something, and I caught maybe the last 10 seconds of a song, but it was a hip-hop song, but I didn't know what it was because I got like 10 seconds of
gotcha.
It. Then you played something else that was more, and I don't remember what it was, but it was, you know, New Orleans, something New Orleans, kind of a New Orleans standard.
Uh-huh.
And I could tell, because then you came back on after that, and I could tell you got a phone call, and you got a phone call from somebody who I'm guessing was complaining about maybe the hip-hop tune.
That's another part that... It made it easier for me to stop doing that.
I so appreciated what you said. I actually almost called you at OZ because I so appreciated what you said after that. Because you didn't name names. You didn't say what they were complaining about. But you just basically said, look, this is the New Orleans music show. And New Orleans music is a lot more than traditional jazz. We have that on this station. If you want to listen to it, it's at this time. Or go check out these shows.
Yeah.
But this is what music in New Orleans is about. And I was like, man, way to say it. I should have called you. I mean, not that you need my positive.
No,
but, you know,
it's good to hear. Don't you think
it's
good to get the positive feedback?
Yeah, definitely.
That was awesome.
I mean, that was kind of my mission in doing that show. Because, like, I really wanted a night show. Like, the show I really wanted was a show that nobody listens to. I wanted a kitchen sink on Sunday nights just because it was convenient for me.
Mm-hmm.
To go do a 2-hour show on Sunday and then go hang out with Pat Casey and them for another 2 hours.
Right.
It's like, this is a perfect Sunday for me.
And the kitchen sink, you
I could actually play whatever I want.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm
saying?
Right.
So, like, when they did the whole changeover a couple of years ago and the regime changed over, like, me and Cole Williams were just like fresh new faces. Like, bam, you guys take Tuesday and Wednesday show. I'm like, I guess we're doing this. And then, by doing that show, I realized, I mean, how many things weren't being exposed, you know, to the locals. Like, as far as, like, hip-hop, rock, gospel, all kind of things nobody hears that local people are doing.
That are huge in New Orleans.
But also, what made me feel really not bad about not doing it anymore regularly is, like, I started to notice, like a lot of people that I was promoting and getting other DJs to promote, they started getting... awards and nominated, and they started being on the cover of the magazine. So I'm like, okay, cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm like, no, I need to go work on my own shit so I can get back on the cover of the magazine. And Yeah, so I feel like I accomplished a mission in that way.
Cool.
It was like, you know, just based on, you know, the new music that's that people are finally waking up to.
I appreciate you saying that, and I appreciate what you did, and I appreciate what you said in that moment, because that was an important thing. So many people listen to OZ, right? Not that aren't just here that need to hear it, but are elsewhere that need to hear it.
They need to, it influences, I mean, this, where we are right now, the Louisiana Music Factory, French Quarter Fest, Jazz Fest, you know, WWOZ, these are all like, John Boutte.
See, this also this is, see, this is why we live here. Like, nowhere else would we be doing a podcast. First of all, where is there a record store?
Still calling it a record store, right?
There's that. So where else would we be doing a podcast in a record store that John Boutte just walks in?
Yeah. Well, we're actually taping another show. And
he's on the next one. So it's not that random.
But it could still happen.
It could be.
But Helen, you were saying, sorry about
that. No. That's exactly what I'm saying, is that you know, I think that also, like, when I first moved to town in 2002, I was a young woman cello player trying to make it in the New Orleans music scene. Where do I go? Mm-hmm. Everybody I was looking at was a man playing a saxophone, drum set, bass, electric guitar, trombone, you know, trumpet. I was like, but the good thing was I was just crazy, insane enough chick to like be like, you need cello in your tango band. That was an easy sell. You need cello in your jazz band. I'll come sit in with your like 8-piece rock band at the Saturn Bar. You know, I'll come sit in with your jazz band. I'll come sit in and I'm like hauling this cello with this giant amp because I didn't know what I was doing, and I was like, you know, taking up way too much room. And but I had the gumption. If you have the like attitude here, you can totally make it happen.
The thing is, it's you know, like that like buck against the norm as far as instrumentation goes, has been a thing in New Orleans. Like, you know, Kurt Joseph started that. Like, you know, it's like you know, a sousaphone can actually do this. You're like, whoa, nobody knew sousaphone could do all that. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. So like Helen's. And then the Mark Parodies of the world, the Mike Dillons of the world, you know, they introduce all these new things. And they're not new. I mean, they're out there playing ancient instruments.
other instruments.
But like I try to, like, if you listen to any of my records, like, I incorporate strings, you know, lots of percussion, horns, the whole thing. It's like, it's very, there's a lot of influences.
That's the thing. So New Orleans music show should be like, it really should be more indicative of what is actually New Orleans music, which is a very rich, like, wide variety of music and instruments and people. And so, that's cool. It just, it gets boiled down to certain things, but we need to look past those certain things.
I couldn't agree more. And I mean, you guys are both fine examples of this. That, I mean, everybody wants to put everybody in little boxes because it's convenient, but that's not really how this all works. And especially here,
I think mainstream culture in this country likes to have things that are safe sometimes.
Sure.
And I think it's super, super important to remember that, you know, without the genetic mutations that come with variety, this planet would not be as beautiful as it is. So,
well said, Helen. Yeah.
Thank you.
That was good. How about on that note, I think we'll go ahead and close things out because we'll let that float out there philosophically for
Sounds
a while.
Sounds good. I can't beat that. Just say something stupid.
Use your turn signal.
Use your turn signal. There you go.
There you go.
Helen, Derek, I really appreciate y'all taking some time here to join us on the show.
Oh, that was awesome. Man, thank you. My pleasure.
Hey, cool. Look forward to seeing you both at French Quarter Fest.
Friends, yes, sir.
Yeah. Awesome. A little brief musical interlude, friends. I'll be back with my parting shot. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening to the NOLA Drinks Show this week. And as always, our podcast only stuff, another shot with NOLA Drinks. Fun conversation there with Helen Gillet and Derek Freeman. Really enjoyed chatting with them. As I mentioned at the top of the Another Shot segment, really enjoy doing the French Quarter Fest series and more to come. A little bit of a programming note. At the top of the show, I mentioned that we're going to be doing something from Bourbon Fest next week, and that is indeed the case. But we had taped the opening segment that aired on radio originally and now on the podcast before Bourbon Fest. So I said, hey, I was a little overambitious. We're going to get 2, maybe 3 shows worth of stuff. We ended up with
a whole great show with Peggy No Stevens and Carla Carlton, and then a couple great segments with Tracy Napolitano and his wife, Barbara Hirsch Napolitano. Those two are the folks that run New Orleans Bourbon Fest. And then Susan Riegler, the fine bourbon educator and author. So what we're going to do, we didn't quite end up with two full shows, and I don't like stringing things together that are sort of non-thematic. So the podcast next week is going to have our conversation with Tracy and Barbara, as well as our conversation with Susan, and our Another Shot conversation with Peggy and Carla. And it's all about bourbon, all about Bourbon Fest. Be a little bit of a longer podcast next week, but a lot of great stuff. So if you're into bourbon, if you're into whiskey, really fascinating show. So, you know, maybe give it a couple sittings. That's what I'm trying to say as you listen in, friends. So there you go. There's our programming note. A little bit of a parting shot inspired by this week's show. You know, New Orleans, it's a diverse town. If you're from here, you know that. A lot of this segment, this little bit here on our parting shot, you're going to probably know if you're from here. But if you're not from here, or if you're new here, or if you've not been paying attention, New Orleans is a diverse town. You know, look, we have the culture, Native American culture. We have African culture. We have French culture. We have Spanish culture, English culture, Irish culture, German culture. In recent years, more Vietnamese culture, Honduran culture, Cuban culture, all over Latin America, all over the world. This place truly does defy labels. Now, I think that's one of the things that attracts musicians like Helen and Derek that weren't born here. That's what makes them want to come here. And I think it also informs those that are born and raised here, at least those that want to tap into what this place is all about and not get away from it. And look, I think there's a lot of people out there that don't love New Orleans, that still live in the area, and that's a topic for another time. You know who you are, or you know who I'm talking about. But it is a diverse place. We see it reflected in our cuisine. We see it reflected in our architecture. We see it reflected in our Mardi Gras traditions. Mardi Gras Indians come to mind. It really even influences, I think, our outlook. For many, even for all of us at times, it can be confusing. Perhaps it can even be overwhelming, or perhaps even more so, it can be maddening. This is a complex place. I think sometimes what happens, too, is that when people move here, they fall in love with an idealism of New Orleans. And they come here, and then they try too hard. They try to be Mr. and Mrs. New Orleans, Mr. and Mrs. Insider, right when they first get here. One of the things that I learned, I've been here for a long time. I've been here for about 11, 12 years, but I've been coming here my entire life, and I'm not claiming to be a New Orleanian. I think we know that's an argument also for a different time. But the first time I came here due to family relationships and things like that was 1979, 1980. So I've spent a lot of time here. And one of the things that I've learned, just from my humble opinion, is always just, you know, be yourself. You don't have to try too hard. I've never had to be anything other than myself, and it works great for me. Don't come here with an attitude that you're going to teach the place something. You might be, contributions welcome. Teaching and lecturing, not so much. Ears open, eyes open. I think a lot of people come here, or people from outside the area, sometimes companies, these different things, treat us like we're a third world nation here and act like they're going to come in and change the world because New Orleans is lower down on the ladder. We're several rungs down. And I can tell you, and I think those of us from here and those of us that have been here for a long time or those of us who know the place well know that that doesn't work and you're just going to run up against a rampart that's going to break you. And that's a good thing. This city does learn, but it learns and melds largely on its own terms. I think the wide breadth of the multiculturalism and the different cultures represented here that I'd mentioned at the top of the segment indicates this. Our nature that may seem disjointed at times indicates this. The layers that you have to peel back to exist and understand this place indicates this. To me, it's sort of like wine or music or art or any number of other things. No one knows everything about this place. And if somebody tells you they do, basically, they're full of crap. There's always something to learn, always something to discover, and always something that you should have your eyes and ears open to try and catch. Now, is this utopia? Of course not. Do we have problems? Sure. Do we always get along? Hell no. There's a constant ebb and flow that always happens in New Orleans. So if you just want to put things into boxes, if you're just into black and white, and if you aren't into blurred lines, this is probably not the place for you. If you dig that, and derive strength through knowledge and diversity as an individual, and understand how a community is stronger because of it, and you always want and know you need to learn more, then come on board. For those of us that dig that, it's one of the beautiful parts of the city and greatly outweighs any of the bad that we might have. Here, in many ways, it's probably caveat emptor a bit, right? So if that's not your bag, then I'm going to suggest, if you're not here, it's probably best that you stay where you're at. If it is your bag, well, yeah, you're right. Friends, that's our parting shot. Here's to you.